Our scripture this morning is taken from John 17, and notice particularly the prayer of Jesus as he prays for the unity of his followers. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." Last year, Laura Carpenter was here on MLK Day, and I heard her speak and was so impressed, I ran up immediately and said, "I want you for chapel next year, Martin Luther King Week." Laura is the Director of Diversity and Worship at Madison Square Church in Grand Rapids, and she is a certified anti-racism organizer. Please welcome Laura Carpenter.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you, dear.
Good morning. Well, I'm glad to be here. A little overwhelmed, but it's okay. God's got me. If I fall over, I'll just come back up. Excuse me. I'm just going to jump right into this. And I'll just say quickly, serving as Director of Diversity at Madison Square Church, I'll just tell you a little bit about Madison. We are a multicultural, multiracial, multi-ethnic church, but we're probably about 80% white, and between 75 and 80% white, and so 20 to 25% African-American, African, Hispanic, Asian, and that's kind of in order of the percentage of people of color. And it's my job to lead us to be an authentic, multicultural, multiracial body of believers, anti-racist body of believers, and that's work. But I love it. It's not easy, but I believe that God has called the body to this, not just Madison Square, but the body to this. So let me just jump in. One scripture, I'll talk about Ephesians 2. I'll talk a little bit about John 17. I'll talk a little bit about Psalm 133 as we move forward, okay? So I'm going to start with Ephesians 2 that talks about, consequently, now prior to this, Paul is talking about the fact that Jesus has torn down the walls of hostility. There's no more Jew or Greek. There's no more circumcised or uncircumcised. We're all one. Okay, so he says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole body is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit." And I like that last part. In him, you too, us too, are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. My brothers and sisters here at Geneva College, I believe that God has called us to build a diverse community, a diverse community of believers. But let me stop and cite something for a moment. You know, on Monday, we celebrated Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, right? We commemorated that. And one of his famous speeches is the I Have a Dream speech, right? He dreamed that this nation would rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed, that all men are created equal. He dreamed that the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners would be able to sit down at the table of brotherhood. He dreamed that his four little children would one day live in a nation where they would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That was the dream that Dr. Martin Luther King dreamed. Well, I like to think that when Jesus prayed for us in John chapter 17, that he was praying his dream for us as well. He prayed in verse 20 that we might be one just as he and the Father are one. And he prayed that we might be one. See, there's a reason for that. Because when we are unified and we are one, the world is going to look at us and then believe that a God sent his son to die for them. There's something about our unity that gives glory to God and that speaks to the truth of God's love and who he is. He prayed that we might be one as he and the Father are one. He prayed that we might be brought to complete unity. So not only did Martin Luther King have a dream for us, y'all, but Jesus had a dream for us. Now, Madison Square Church, we have a dream. That's why I'm director of diversity. And our dream is simply stated in our vision statement. Our vision is to build a diverse community of people and congregations being transformed by Christ. And I'll say this right now, that it's an ongoing process, because actually this vision statement, we just tweaked it like a month ago. It was slightly different than this. But here's where we are right now. Here's how we're, and as we move along the journey, the vision becomes clear. Before it was to build a diverse community, a community of diverse people who are being transformed by Christ. We flipped it. It's not a community of diverse people, but it's a diverse community of people and congregations, because we have more than one site. So how do we include all of Madison, not just where we are at the main site, but all of us? And this process of being a diverse community of people and congregations, it comes only by the transforming power of Christ Jesus. Now, I am a little presumptuous, if you will allow me to be. I have a vision for Geneva College. Here's my vision for you. That you're called to build a diverse community of believers. You can take it or leave it, but for today, that's going to be my vision for you. You're called to build a community of diverse believers. And I say this to you as your sister in Christ. I say this to you as a representative of Madison Square Church, who is also your sister. We're connected not only by Christ Jesus, which is the greatest connection we have, but we're also connected by our Reformed theology as well. So you know what? We all are totally depraved together. And we all are unconditionally elected together. And we are trusting God's limitless love while acknowledging his limited atonement. We acknowledge that he drew us. He drew us with his irresistible grace. And we know that God perseveres with us and gives us grace to persevere. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to look at this vision again that I have for Geneva College, called to build a diverse community of believers. And I want to break it down word by word, if I could. And the first word is called. Saints, you have been called to this work. And you may or not believe it or know it or accept it yet, but you are. And why would you say that, Lord, we're called? Well, if Christ has saved you, he's sanctified you. He set you apart for a particular purpose. And also says that if we are Christ ones, if we are Christians, we are ambassadors. We are his mouthpieces and ambassadors of reconciliation. First, reconciling folks to God, but then you know what else? Reconciling people to each other. That's what we as Christians are called to do. And we're called to be peacemakers. And as far as I can see, there's a whole lot of brokenness in the body of Christ, especially still today along racial lines. And I believe God is calling us to be peacemakers, to be unifiers. When Paul talks in Ephesians 4 about living a life worthy of the calling you have received, just a little beyond that sentence, he says, you know what part of living out that, that calling is to make every effort. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Part of that worthy living is to make every effort to produce unity in the body. So we're called, and we're called to do something. We're called to build. And this building is active and it's ongoing. In Ephesians 2, he says, we are being built together. We are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. It's active and it's ongoing. And I don't think it's going to end until Christ returns. We won't arrive, you guys. Just like in our spiritual walk, I will never ever arrive to where I want to be until I see him face to face. It's an ongoing journey. But I know as a builder too, we need plans, we need blueprints, and we have a wise God who gives us wisdom and gives us strategies. At Madison Square Church, we have an anti-racism team. And that anti-racism team has a 20-year vision with 5-year goals and strategies to go with those goals. We're in about year 10 of our 20-year vision, and it feels like we're still in year 1. We got a long way to go, y'all. And in addition to the plans and strategies of the anti-racism team, we have this other team called the Master Planning Team, because in 2014, Madison will celebrate her 100th anniversary as a church. Now, we've got 6 themes, and 2 themes that speak directly to this idea of building a diverse community. One is, one of our themes, one of our desires, one of our dreams is to multiply multicultural leaders. Again, if you're building, it takes a plan and it takes intentionality. So we're going to say it. We're looking for folks of color who have the gift of leadership, not just to pull anybody in because they have brown skin, but people of color with the gift of leadership to develop them into strong leaders so that we might begin to grow up in our church and even in our denomination, strong leaders of color. So multiplying, the multiplication of multicultural leaders is one of our themes. And the other theme is to build reciprocal relationships so that we aren't behaving in this paternalistic way where we're the givers and those who don't, that we think don't have, are the receivers. How do we relate with our neighbors, which is a predominantly African-American poor community and with a growing Hispanic population? How do we relate to them in a reciprocal way and not in a paternalistic way? That's part of the strategy, part of the planning as we seek to build this diverse community. You see, the dream does not just happen. If it would just happen, then it would have happened. Even since the Civil Rights Movement, people say, well, why is there still a problem with race? Because it's not just going to go away. After the movement, we're just going to continue with life as usual and things are going to continue to get better? No, they won't. The dream will not just happen. We have to be a part of making it happen. And the reality, saints, is that before, the scripture says, before you sit down to build the building or go to the work, you better count the cost. Because a lot of us say we want to be multicultural, we want to be multi-ethnic, we want to be multiracial. But the reality is, it will cost you something. And you'll hear this again. The next part is diverse community. Diverse community. And I really like this, especially as I read Geneva's mission statement. The mission of Geneva College is to glorify God by educating and ministering to a diverse community of students. I like that. And then where you highlight diverse community, I like the second paragraph. I thought, man, what a rich history that you have a record of providing education for those segments of society that have been disenfranchised. And that after the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, that this college, that one half, 50% of the population of this college were folks of African descent. They were those Africans who had been enslaved, who were set free. 50%. 50%. That's pretty deep. A diverse community. See, we're many members but one body. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just as a body, though one has many members, but not all its many members form, but all its many members form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized once by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. One body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, but many diverse and beautiful members of this glorious body, whose head is Christ. Now, even though we're one body, it's hard with all these diverse members of the body. And this is where the work comes in, because being part of a diverse community requires bearing with one another, saints, forgiving one another, persevering with one another, honoring one another, celebrating one another, listening and talking to each other, teaching and learning from each other, laughing and crying with each other. Not paternalism, as I mentioned before, not dropping out when it gets hard or when my feelings get hurt. I'm tired of this. I don't have to take this. And I can tell you right now, as director of diversity at Madison Square Church, as having been a member of Madison Square Church for 19 years now, as having served as a youth pastor at Madison Square Church, there were many days, saints, when I wanted to walk away. And I wanted to say, you know, I can go to a church with a whole lot of folks that look like me, that worship like me, that get me. I can go do that. But the Spirit of God said, no, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. I can't walk away, but I also can't stay and disengage. And I see that with folks at my church. I see people in my church who have been there 20, 30, 40 years, and they come and sit in the back pew. I see them every Sunday. They've been doing it the 18 or 19 years that I've been there. Well, why won't you do anything? Why won't you work with children's ministry? I've done it before, and those folks, they hurt me. I did it before. I don't like the way they treat me. I did it before. They disrespect me. Well, look, Jesus did it too. And look at what we did to him. My God, it will cost us something. But if we're committed to our God, I tell you, I know for myself, he'll give you strength to stay when you want to walk away. He'll give you strength to engage when you want to disengage. And the last word, believers, you guys, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of God lives in you. And it is only us who have the power and the true motivation to answer the call to build this diverse community. We have the Spirit of God living in us. We have the power of God residing in us. We are the Lord's ambassadors. We are his reconcilers. And our Savior prayed for us. And he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us even right now. And yes, it cost our Savior something, so it will cost us something. We got to die. Jesus, I don't want to die. But in Philippians, Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. His resurrection power gives us what we need to do this work. But we won't truly experience it if we don't suffer with him. It's not an easy road. Makes me think of Aunt Jeannie Johnson, the day I went to church and professed my faith at my little church in Muskegon Heights, Michigan. And it's church, the saints were singing and hugging, and we were clapping and thanking God that Laura came to know Jesus. And Aunt Jeannie walks up to me and she says, it's not going to be an easy road. And I thought, why she got to bust my bubble? But Aunt Jeannie was right. Some 30 years later, it's not been an easy road. In our relationships with one another, let's have the same attitude or mind that Christ Jesus had. who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. That's in Philippians. Or I like the way an older version says, he didn't consider it something to be grasped. He let it go. Not to be used for his own advantage, but for us. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to lay down your life, believer? Are you willing to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to answer God's call? Are you willing to be his ambassador, his reconciler? See, the reality is, we got to remember that each of us is unconditionally elected. I did not do anything for God to choose me. I did not do anything to earn his love, and neither did you. We have been unconditionally elected. We are all messed up, and I really like that. Last year, my pastor preached a sermon on total depravity and what the implications are regarding racial reconciliation, and I'm telling you, for me, it was liberating because somewhere in my psyche, I had this thought without even knowing I was thinking it that my depravity was way worse than my white brothers or sisters' depravity. I didn't know I thought that, but I did. And my pastor preached about it. And I'm actually going to quote Pastor Dave Bielan, if I may, as he talks about the implications of this doctrine of total depravity, if you will indulge me. He says, the implications of this doctrine of total depravity for racial harmony are huge. Most often, Christians believe that the great positive common denominator among races, namely, we are all created equal in the image of God. And you find that in Scripture in Genesis, throughout Genesis, and even in James. That is true, it's powerful, and relevant. But there is a problem if we treat that doctrine in isolation. The problem is we are not good enough to hear it and make good use of it. If you convince a sinful, depraved, unrepentant, unregenerate person that he is created in the image of God, you will probably fuel his innate pride. And that pride will so distort a person's view of reality, he will easily convince himself that he and others like him are above others. What is desperately needed is another conviction, no less strong, but shattering to pride. Namely, the conviction that all human beings, including me, including you, are corrupt, depraved, guilty, condemned, and under the sentence of hell, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm quoting my pastor now. And he says, red, brown, yellow, black, and white, we will all be right there in the fire. Now, I want to say something else on the flip side of that. We have, for people of color, I think we have this oppressed entitlement or this innocent victim mentality that I was oppressed, they're bad, we're good. We were the ones who were oppressed. We didn't do the oppressing, so all the oppressors are bad. Ah! Get them, God! And we're good. That's a lie, too. I'm as depraved as you are. You are as depraved as I am. And Pastor talks about, I'll go back to Pastor. The ethnic diversity of hell is a crucial doctrine. Romans 2:9 puts it like this. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil. The Jew first, and also the Greek. God is no respecter of persons in salvation or in damnation. The human race and every ethnic group in it are united in this great reality. We are all depraved and condemned. We are all lost in the woods together, sinking in the same boat, dying of the same disease. Let's sit in that for 1 second. We're messed up without Christ. We're messed up without Christ. We all need salvation. We all need a Savior. Let's go to Psalm 133. Now, it was mentioned that there's two images in Psalm 133. One is that oil that runs down on Aaron's beard, and that oil is usually used during an ordination ceremony of a priest, which is usually like a once-in-a-lifetime event. And my challenge to you is to be open to that once-in-a-lifetime event whereby God might, you might be feeling like I used to feel years ago. Racial reconciliation. Maybe. I don't know. I'll think about it. And then there were some things that happened to me at Madison Square Church that gave me to know that I really need to be involved in this work. I need to be a champion for this work. And then that dew that's on Mount Hermon, that's a daily occurrence, almost daily occurrence, daily refreshing, daily refreshing. Because in addition to that moment where you say, God, I hear you calling me to be a reconciler, then after you hear the call, then you need to persevere on a daily basis. Because when you're in this work, you'll be misunderstood. You'll be disregarded. You'll be disenfranchised. You'll want to walk away. And you need that daily refreshing to know that as Christ perseveres with me, I can persevere in this work. God gives me strength and power to persevere. Jesus did not just dream a dream. He fulfilled it by his death, burial, and resurrection. He tears down walls, creates one household, one being built into a place where God very apparently dwells. Saints, I encourage you to walk in that reality and to build this diverse community of believers that God has called you to build. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity to talk to your sons and your daughters, to be with my brothers and my sisters. And I pray your blessing on them. I pray your anointing on them. And I pray that the words I say have come from your mind and your heart, and they have reached the minds and the hearts of the folks in this room. And Father, there's so much more that could be said, and there's so much more to be done. And I trust you, God, that that while some may plant the seed and some may water, that it is you, O God, who gives the increase. And I pray that you would bless Geneva College, staff, faculty, students, bless them to join the journey, to continue on the journey of building a community, a diverse community of believers. And Christ, continue to transform them, that more and more and more they may be like you, and fill them up so that you will be glorified and it will be very apparent to the world that you are Lord by what's going on here at Geneva College. Thank you. We praise you and we bless your name for what you are doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.